Okay. Good morning, everyone. It's Parshas Nitzavim Vayelech, and it's that time of the year again, the Shabbos before this Shabbos, the Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah. So we know that we always read this Parsha Nitzavim Vayelech before Rosh Hashanah, and sometimes it's just Parshas Nitzavim, sometimes it's Nitzavim Vayelech together. Most years is together, actually, and this year too. Now, we know that it has a very special connection to Rosh Hashanah. I just want to explain it again. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to share the screen. Here we are. There we are. Okay. So, the parasha begins. Let's just have a look at the first couple of psukim, and we'll extrapolate and understand how it works with Rosh Hashanah and the whole process. So the parasha says Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to the Jewish people before they go into the land of Israel, which is the whole book of Devarim. And he says, Atem nitzavim hayoim kulchem. You are all standing here today. Right, this is number one. Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, before Hashem your God. You're all standing here together. Rosheichem, Shifteichem, your tribal heads, your heads, your elders, Zikneichem, Shoitreichem, your officers, Kol Yish Yisrael, all Jewish people. Tapchem uneshechem, your children, your wives, ugericha, shebeker machanecha, your converts, choyte veitzecha, from the woodchoppers, achoye mecha, to the water carriers, you're all here. Why are you all standing here together? Le'ovrucha bivris Hashem eloikecha, to enter into a covenant, another covenant, between you and God, uva olosei, with his promise, with his oath, asher Hashem eloikecha, koyres imcha hayoim, this is the covenant which God is entering into with you today. Okay. Now, when did Moshe Rabbeinu actually say this? Okay. So, not only wasn't it before Rosh Hashanah, of course, but it was actually not even before he passed away. It was way before that. Meaning, it was at the beginning of his long speech. The Medrash points out, when the Medrash talks about a concept called Ein Muktim Umucher BaTorah, that there's no chronological order to the Torah. Often we find things mixed up in the Torah, chronologically so, historically so. I mean, the simple thing because of that is that Torah is not a history book. So therefore, Torah doesn't tell us the sequence of events. Torah just tells us what it needs to tell us at the right time. But actually, we know that the book of Devarim was 37 days of Moshe Rabbeinu speaking and preparing the Jewish people for going into the land of Israel. And it's somewhere at the beginning, close to Rosh Chodesh Shvat, he says to them, you're all standing here today. You're about to go into Israel. You're all together, your woodchoppers, your elders, your rabbis, your leaders, and your officers, the whole business. You're all about to go into the land of Israel, and it's now time to recommit to the Torah. And therefore, we're going to enter into a bris, into a covenant once again. A covenant, of course, took place at Har Sinai 40 years earlier. But we're going to enter into a covenant before you go into the land of Israel. So, in the Chumash, it's just before Moshe Rabbeinu passes away. Next week, we learn we're going to have Hazinu, and then we have the brachas, the blessings that Moshe Rabbeinu gave before he passed away, and the passing of Moshe Rabbeinu, which you read on Simchas Torah, right? But so this is all the way at the end. It would seem that it was like towards the end of the 37 days, but in fact it wasn't. It was at the beginning of the 37 days, according to the Medrash, where he gathered them all together, and he said, Atem Nitzavim, you're all here together today, standing today. So the Shaloh HaKadosh points out, the great Kabbalist, the Shaloh, he says a couple of things. First of all, the Shaloh says that when we have this principle, Ein Muktim Umeucher BaTorah, that there's no chronological order to the Torah, that is 100% true, but when something is out of place, it doesn't mean that Hashem just randomly stuck stories or events in the Chumash to wherever he wanted to, just random. There's not something random by Hashem, right? So in other words, if Hashem chose not to put them in order, it's not like there's no point in them being in order altogether. Many of the stories in Torah are in order. I mean, Bereishis is in order, right? It's all in order. But when Hashem chooses to put it not in order, we say there's no order to the Torah because Torah is not a history book, but still when Hashem purposely places something out of order, it has meaning. There's a reason for it. There's a depth to it, right? Number one, the other thing that the Shaloh says is that although the part we've mentioned this many times, but although the Torah is read nothing to do with the events of the year, we start from Bereishis, we finish on Simchas Torah, that's just the way it works. with a couple of stops around the way, but that's how Torah works. The minhag is to finish it on Simchas Torah. Now that in itself is a question, why we finish the Torah on Simchas Torah, not on Shavuos. Much has been written about that, but the bottom line is we do, and we just keep going. It doesn't matter what the event of the week is, right? Yet, says the Shalom, everything is b'hashgacha pratis, everything has a depth, and therefore if you read a pasha around a certain time, it's connected to that time. So putting those two things together, here we have a fascinating thing. Hashem purposely takes Nitzavim out of the beginning of the 37 days of the book of Devarim, puts it all the way to the end, out of order, and then it comes out, when therefore is it read? It's read the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. If it was all the way at the beginning of Devarim, it would read around Tisha B'Av time. But no, it's read around the time of Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because it all has meaning, it all has depth. It all means something, because the Mefarshim tell us that on a deeper level, when Hashem says, or the Torah says, Atem nitzavim hayoim kulchem, that first pasuk, you are standing today, all of you together. What day are we talking about? We're talking about Rosh Hashanah. In other words, the Torah is operating on two levels. It's a story of when Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, you're standing here together to enter into a new covenant. It's also Hashem speaking to us on the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah and saying to us, Atem nitzavim hayoim kulchem. You are standing today, all of you, lifnei Hashem elokeichem, before Hashem your God. Why do we say it's got to do with Rosh Hashanah? Because the word hayoim, which I'll just highlight now, right? That word, hayoim, we know has a reference to Rosh Hashanah. There's many sources for this. Two of them is in the davening of Rosh Hashanah, where we say, Ze hayoim tchilas ma'asecho. This is the day of the beginning of your works, Hashem. We say that in the middle of the Amidah. In other words, we refer to Moshe Rabbeinu, we refer to Rosh Hashanah as hayoim. Also, we know that there's that famous song that we sing three times during Musaf on both days, where we say, hayoim haras oyla. This day is the birth of the world. We use the word hayoim. So therefore the Mefarshim say the word hayoim refers to Rosh Hashanah. There's other sources as well. But this hayoim refers to Rosh Hashanah. So therefore when Hashem says you're all standing today together, hayoim, that is referring to Rosh Hashanah. So what's Hashem telling us? See, we have a few things that we need to explore. First of all, there's the famous idea that the Baal Shem Tov said. We mentioned this many times. Just to note, of course, that yesterday was the 18th day of Elul, the birthday of the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov says that we know there's a law that every time we have Shabbos before a new month, we bless the month, we bless Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos Mevorchim, except for Tishrei. So this Shabbos being the last Shabbos of the year, of the month, we do not bless the new month starting next week, which is Tishrei, but we just leave it out. Why? So the simple halachic reason is because we want to sort of confuse the Satan. We don't want him to know when Rosh Hashanah is, and we want to sort of confuse him. Perhaps we don't know, or he should think that it's okay to prosecute, and then we confuse him, and then we daven, and then we connect to Hashem, so everything turns out okay. That's one reason. It needs its own discussion about what does it mean to confuse the Satan. I mean, he can look in the Binah calendar, he'll figure out what Rosh Hashanah is. Okay, separate discussion. But the Baal Shem Tov offers another explanation, and he says the following. He says that the Yidden, Bnei Yisrael, bench, they bless every month. Cheshvan, Kislev, Tevez, we on the last Shabbos of the previous month, we bench Rosh Chodesh. Why don't we bench the month of Tishrei? Because the month of Tishrei, Hashem benches. Hashem benches. And with the koyach, with the power of Hashem benching the month of Tishrei, we are able then to bench all the other months of the year. That's what he says. What's Hashem's bracha? We know what we say every other month. What does Hashem say? Hashem blesses us. That's what the Baal Shem Tov says. He blesses us with a Torah reading of this week. The Torah reading of this week is, Atem nitzavim hayoim kulchem. You are standing, all of you, together today. What does that mean? The word nitzavim means stand, but it has actually a stronger connotation. The word nitzavim means to stand firm, to be strong. There's a place in Tanakh where the word nitzav is associated with the power of a king, standing strong, tall, powerful, influential. Hashem says you're approaching Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Hadin, it's the day of judgment. people think this is a scary process, but no, it's not scary. It's just we have to do something. It's serious, but it's not frightening. Hashem wants to be close to us. Hashem wants to give us a good year, and He wants to do everything in our favor. And in fact, not only that, but the Baal Shem Tov says He blesses the month this way. The Shabbos Mevarchim, this coming week, this coming Shabbos, Hashem gives a bracha, and His bracha is Atem Nitzavim Ayoyim Kulchem. You are standing today firmly. The day of Rosh Hashanah, I give you a bracha, says Hashem, that you'll be firm and proud and optimistic, trustful, that everything is turning out okay. But He adds one word, Hashem's in His bracha. He says, why? Why am I so confident, Hashem says? Why am I so confident to give you the bracha that you are standing strong, firm, on the day of Rosh Hashanah? The reason is kulchem, because you're all together. You're connected to each other. With the power of kulchem, with the power of being together, you're able to get all of Hashem's brachas. In other words, Hashem says, I'm confident that you are standing firm on this day of Rosh Hashanah. Why am I so confident? After all, it is a Yom HaDin, it's a day of judgment. You've got to do something about it. How are you so confident that everything's going to turn out okay? Hashem says, kulchem, because you're all together. When you're all together, that becomes a vehicle for Hashem's blessings. And this concept of togetherness is something we're going to come, and its connection to Rosh Hashanah specifically, we're going to come back at the end of the Shir and tie it in and explain why. So that's what Hashem is saying. Hashem is saying, you're going to be okay. He's giving us a bracha. He wants us to be okay. I want to just tie that in before we talk about the whole Nitzavim Vayelech connection to Rosh Hashanah. I want to tie it in to something that I read just a few days ago from Levi Yitzchak of Bardichev, the Kedushas Levi. The Kedushas Levi, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Bardichev, gives a pshat in this pasuk, highlighting also the word Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. You are before Hashem your God. Now it's a long piece in the Kedushas Levi, and I'm going to explain what he means by Lifnei in a second. The thrust of the piece is, really, this is very Bardichev style, but it's, if you know, Rabbi Levitsky Bardichev was always the one who advocated on behalf of the Jewish people, said things that were favorable to him, pleaded with God on behalf of the people, and so on and so forth. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bardichev says that the Nakuda, the essence of his whole piece, which I'm going to explain in a moment, is that Hashem wants to bless us. Hashem wants to give brachas. In fact, there's a sort of a concept, a theme that comes through Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bardichev's writings here, that Hashem almost pleads with us to allow Him to be worthy of His blessing. In other words, the design of creation is that Hashem wants a certain mission to take place, and for that mission to take place, we have to work hard. We have to serve Hashem, we have to do mitzvahs, we have to pass judgment. But Hashem wants us to come out good. He's desperate, so to speak, Hashem is not desperate for anything. But Hashem wants us, He begs us almost, to make sure that we do the right thing so we are worthy of His blessing. Why is that? So he starts off the piece, it's two pieces actually that I'm putting together, with highlighting the word lifnei. Now whenever we say lifnei, it means before, right? Before, bifnei Hashem Elokeich, before Hashem your God. But says the Bardichev, lifnei also has another translation. Lifnei is pnimius, pnei, to my essence, panim. You know why the face is called, when you know the face of a person is called panim? Because the one part of the person that gives the internal of the person away is the face. If I look at your hand, I cannot know what's happening with you. I have no idea. I see any other part of your body, I have no idea what's happening inside of you, what's happening in your inner essence, what's going on behind the scenes. If you look at a person's face, some more than others, if you look at a person's face, the face is not just an exterior, the face is what brings out the inner essence of them, the pnimiyut, the internal, the essential happenings below the surface. That's what a face brings out. That's why a face is called panim in Hebrew. So he talks about this concept of panim ve'achor. Panim means when you face to face someone, pnimius, and also when you turn away from someone, or you're not intrinsically connected with a person. He says the following, a famous idea. He says that we're talking about a person's ratzon. You know, sometimes when you give someone something, right? So you give someone a present, you give someone, I don't know, anything. You do it sometimes because you have to, and of course you want to do it, but we're talking about there's two levels of wanting. There's an external wanting, as it's explained in many, many places, and there's an internal wanting. Right? So you pay your bills at the end of the month, right? You pay your taxes, you pay your bills, whatever the case is. Of course you want to pay your electricity bill, because otherwise your electricity will go. Of course you want to pay your water bill, otherwise they'll cut off your water. But can you say that's something you really want to do? That's pnimiyut, coming from your essence? No. Because that's not what you're living life for, to pay water bills. Yeah, I mean, it's an important part of life, and of course, everything has meaning and purpose, but is that your pnimiyut? No. When you talk to your child, when you talk to a family member, when you spend time with family, when you do something of a higher purpose, you do a mitzvah, that is pnimiyut. That's because that's what you really want to be doing. That's the end goal. That's your pnimiyut. And that's for your relationship with paying a bill, and your relationship with a mitzvah or with a loved one is totally different. The relationship with a mitzvah is your relationship with paying a bill is an external relationship. Your relationship with a mitzvah or with a loved one is an internal relationship. Says Hashem to the Jewish people, you, the Jewish people, B'nai Yisrael, the chosen nation, the one that stood at Har Sinai, the one that I'm giving a bracha to, Atem Nitzavim Hayoim Kulchem. You know why? Kulchem, because you together, you're going to be able to receive my blessings, but you should understand that I want this, because Lifnei Hashem Alekeichem. You are connected to the Pnei, Panim. Not Lifnei means you before God, but it means you could be Lifnei, you are connected to, the Lamed is to, you are to, meaning connected to, the Pnei Hashem Alakechem. The Pnimiyud, you is what I really want. Your relationship that I want with you is what I really want to happen. I'm not just saying, if you behave yourself, I'll give you something, I'll give you a good year because, you know, I created you, so I got to take care of you, but that's not who really I want. No. Atem Nitzavim Ayoim Kulchem, you're together, and I want you to stand firm, and I want you to be together, and I want you to be worthy of the receiving of Hashem's blessings. Because Lifnei Hashem Alakechem. Because you are pnimiyut, you are connected to the pnimiyut, the inner essence of Hashem. And he connects this to another piece of Gemara. Same fascinating language that we see this come up all the time. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which talks about the three blessings that we say on Rosh Hashanah. We know that in the Musaf, just for those who are not 100% familiar, on the Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, we insert three big blessings, famous blessings. The one is called Malchiyut, the Psukim, the verses, and the request for Hashem to be our king. Zichreinos, remembrance. We ask Hashem, so to speak, to remember us for the good. V'shoifres, and we acknowledge that it comes through the concept of the shofar, and therefore we have a blessing dealing with the power of the shofar. Where does this all come from? So it comes from a Gemara, a Midrashic Gemara. But the Gemara says, it's discussing these three blessings, and the Gemara says, here you have number two, you can read it along with me, my timer, what's the reason? Why do we say these three blessings? Omar Rabbi says, now let's read it literally, and then we'll read the way the Badishva Rabbi read it. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem says, Imru Lefonai B'Rosh Hashanah, say before me, Malchiyoy Zichroinoy Shoifroy, these three blessings on Rosh Hashanah. Why, says Malchiyos, why should he say Malchiyos? Kedei shetamlichuni aleichem, that you should crown me as your king over you. Zichroinos, remembrances, kedei sheyovai lefonai zichroinechem letoiva, that your remembrance should come before me for the good. Uba men, how's it all going to work? Bashoifer, with the shoifer, and therefore we have the three blessings. Says the Baditshva, here you have the same thing. Hashem says to the Jewish people, Imru lefonai, connect to my pnimius, connect to my essence. Don't just talk to me, talk to the depth of me. And talk from your depth. Connect on a deeper level, because that's who I am. That's who I want to relate to. Me and you are connected. Imru lefonai, dig deep. Connect to my pnimius, connect to my inner essence. Because that I want to become your king. And also, kedei sheyovei lefonai zichronecham letoiva, that your remembrances should come before me, in me, not before me, in me, my pnimiyut, for the good. Because Hashem wants the Jewish people, and therefore says the Baditshva, that Hashem wants, He begs us to structure it in such a way where we can be worthy of His blessing, and therefore He can have that relationship with us the way He wants it to us, because He wants only good for us. This theme that Hashem wants us to be blessed, and that He wants to bless us before Rosh Hashanah so we should have a good judgment, right? See, it's interesting. It's like so different. We talk about Rosh Hashanah being on a day of judgment. It's very different to a regular judgment. A regular judgment in a court of law, even in a Beis Din, of course, the judge should not want anyone to win. The judge should be completely impartial. But it's different than Rosh Hashanah. Hashem wants us to be worthy of it. He wants us to win the judgment. He wants us to come out worthy. This theme, the Baditch Sheva then takes it and applies it to some interesting verses or interesting passages. I'll just share with you two of them because it's quite fascinating, his idea. He talks about this concept that when Hashem created the world, it's in fact a pasuk in Tilim, I didn't copy it. You know, there's a pasuk in Bereshis, in the beginning of the Chumash, where Hashem says, Na'aseh Adam, let us make man. Let us make man. Famous pasuk. And of course, it's a problematic pasuk because Hashem puts there, Na'aseh Adam, let us make man, almost as if there's more than one God, God forbid. And there isn't, of course. So Chazal tell us, what does it mean, Na'aseh Adam, let us make man, that Hashem consulted with the angels. He consulted with Malachim. He got their buy-in to teach us the art of consulting with people and collaborating with people. Okay, so it was worth it for him to teach us that lesson, even though he put a very dangerous, problematic phrase in the Chumash of Na'aseh Adam, let us make man, which could be misinterpreted. Okay, but he still did it. But that's a very famous concept. What's not so famous perhaps is, what did the Malachim say? What was their opinion? Their opinion is that man should not be created. He consulted them, but he didn't listen to them. Why? Because they said, as the Tilim said, they said, Mo enoish kisis kerenu, who is man? They should even mention him, even remember him. Why should you create the human being? Why? They're not going to be okay. They're not going to listen to you. They're going to be a failure. It's going to be a failed experiment, said the angels. And Hashem went ahead and created us anyway. Says the Baditshava, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, and there's angels in heaven, and perhaps he looks at the Jewish people and maybe not everything is 100% okay, and the angels are almost to say, you see, I told you so. And Hashem pleads with us. He says, no, you got to win this. You got to come out okay. Otherwise, you embarrass me. I mean, I wouldn't say this if Lev Yitzchak Baditshev didn't say this, but it's just a fascinating way of looking at it. Hashem says, don't embarrass me, so to speak. Make sure that I'm right. Make sure that I created you because I wanted to create you, and make sure that it was worthy. Make sure that it was worth the whole thing, because that's the way the world has to be created. That's why Hashem wants to live in this world, and that's what the mission of creation is. So make sure that you don't, so to speak, prove me wrong. And with that concept, the Baditch of Rav gives an amazing pshat, and he says like this. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Have a look. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, Hakol Sofu, it's Perik Dalar Thingbury. Everything is foreseen, Viharashus Nesuna, but nevertheless, even though Hashem foresees everything, He gives us choice, freedom of choice. And then he says, Ubatoiv Ha'olam Nidon, and the world is judged with goodness. Right? The world is judged with goodness. That's what the simple pshat is. But it goes. It's according to what we do and what we try and sort of the effort we put in. Says about Dishma, there's a grammatical problem here. Listen to this, unbelievable. He says, "Ubatoiv ha'olam nidoin." Olam, the world, in grammar, in Hebrew grammar, is feminine. Nidoin, he's judged, is masculine. It doesn't fit. It should say, "Ubatoiv ha'olam nidoina." With good, the world is created in the feminine, is judged in the feminine. If the world is judged, it should be in the feminine. So he says a fascinating thing. He says, we'll come back to it. He says, have a look at a different pasuk. Pasuk we say on Rosh Hashanah for Kiddush. Now let me show you how this pasuk works on a simple level, and I'll tell you what he says in the most amazing pshat. There's a pasuk in Tehillim which talks about, well, it doesn't say Rosh Hashanah explicitly, but we know it's talking about Rosh Hashanah, where David HaMelech says the following, Tiku b'chodesh shofar, blow in the month, chodesh, or the beginning of the month, blow the shofar, b'keseh, at an appointed time, l'yom chageinu, in the day of our festival. Now, without going into the various interpretations of this, the Gemara says it's referring to Rosh Hashanah. Blow shofar on the first day of the year, first day of the month that is a designated festival, at an appointed time, that's Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Then continues the Tehillim and says, Ki choyk li Yisrael hu, because this day is a law for the Jewish people. Mishpat Elokei Yaakov, it's a judgment for the God of Yaakov. Now the simple pshat, as the Gemara says, is this. Ki choyk li Yisrael hu, it's a law for the Jewish people. What does that mean? Who makes the calendar? We know that Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. Who makes the calendar? The Jewish people. The Medrash says, and the Gemara says it as well, that the Malachim come to Hashem and say, and they say to him, when is the day of judgment? When is Yom Adin? When is Rosh Hashanah? So Hashem says, I don't know. Let's go and have a look. When did the Jewish people make the calendar? Which day did they sanctify the moon? Right? Because we know, nowadays we've got a set system, but in olden times it was month by month. And the Beis Din decided when was Rosh Hashanah or when was Rosh Chodesh. Obviously, I'm using Hashem's system, but they're the ones to determine, is it today, is it tomorrow, and so on. So therefore, he says that Tilim, you've got to blow shofar for the beginning of the year. But when's the beginning of the year? First of all, Ki choyk li Yisrael hu. First of all, it's got to be a law that the Jewish people make. They have to establish Rosh Hashanah. Once they establish Rosh Hashanah, Mishpat L'Elokei Yaakov, it's a judgment that Hashem carries out, and He judges us and judges the world on this day, because that's the concept of Rosh Hashanah. So we make Rosh Hashanah, and then Hashem slides into when we make Rosh Hashanah, and He proclaims the day of judgment, and He judges us. But this Rav Rav says, let's read it a bit differently. The word choik, law, there's a Gemara in Gemara Beitza where it talks about the word choik, that choik could also mean sustenance. There's a pasuk in Tanakh where we see the word, we ask Hashem, hatrifeini fidas lechem chuki, the law of my, the bread of my statute. Now the word choik could mean sustenance. Says about this, I have to read the pasuk. Blow shofar Rosh Hashanah, the appointed day, the festival day. Why? Because this day, ki choyk li Yisrael hu, it's a day of sustenance for the Jewish people. It's a day where the Jewish people are blessed with parnasa, with sustenance, with blessing for the coming year. Mishpat, says the Baditshva, the judgment, l'Elokei Yaakov. The judgment is Hashem's judgment. Hashem, so to speak, is being judged. Again, I wouldn't say such a thing. What does it mean Hashem is being judged? So to speak, Hashem is on judgment. Why? Because He had a fight with the Malachim. They said not to create man, and He did. So Hashem is saying, Mishpat, I'm being judged, so to speak. Make it good for me, because I want you, Pnimius. I have that, it bothers me, it matters to me if you come out good. It matters to me whether you're worthy of my blessing. So please, become worthy of my blessing. Mishpat, the blessing, the judgment, is more Hashem's judgment. Says the Baditshva, let's go back to the thing now, that he says, "Utoiv Olam Nidon," the world is judged, and he says, Olam is feminine, Nidon is masculine. He says, no, because Nidon is not referring to the world. Utoiv Olam, the good of the world, has to do with Nidon when he is judged. The word Nidon means he, and it's in the singular, when Hashem is judged, so to speak. Fascinating concept. When Hashem is judged, when Hashem goes through that judgment in Rosh Hashanah and He's asking us, so to speak, to help Him so that He can say that we are worthy, that we are innocent, that we are worthy of His blessings, that He can bless us with a kasiva v'chsima tova, which for sure He will do anyway. So this is the theme, going back to the very first pasuk. I just wanted to share that with you. I thought it was fascinating. But going back to what the Baal Shem Tov says, this week's parasha is Atem Nitzavim. Atem Nitzavim means Hashem is blessing us. Hayoim, today. He's blessing us that we should be firm on Rosh Hashanah. He wants us to be firm on Rosh Hashanah. He wants us to come out worthy and blessed on Rosh Hashanah. First of all, he tells us why. Why is Kulchem? How? How do we do this Kulchem? You must be together. You must connect with others because that's the vehicle for Hashem's blessing. And why do I want it so much as Hashem? Because Lifnei Hashem Alekechem. Because you are connected to my Lifnei, Pnimius. You are connected to my inner essence. The relationship I have with you is not external, it's internal. You matter to me, I matter to you, so to speak. We are intrinsically connected, and therefore I want to be able to bless you. So do what you can to make sure that I could bless you. So he said, that's the vart in this pasuk. So he said that the secret is kulchem, right? Kulchem, we have to be together. Now, let's come back to that. So I want to share with you the depth of the word kulchem, but also I want to share with you, take it a bit deeper about the whole connection between Nitzavim and Vayelech and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and so on, which we've done before, but in a different way, but just let's do it in this way. So I want to share with you a Gemara, which I mentioned on Sunday morning in my Meditate and Pray, but I want to go into more detail. Where the Gemara is based on a Mishnah. It's a Gemara Rosh Hashanah. But the Gemara is based on a Mishnah, and that Mishnah is dealing with the different times of the year that things are judged. Like Shavuos, the world is judged for the fruit. Sukkah is judged for water, whatever the case is. On Rosh Hashanah, says the Mishnah, Kol Bo'ei Olam, all the inhabitants of the world, Oivrin Lefonov, pass before God, Kivnei Moroin, like Bnei Moroin, which we'll see what that means. Okay. So we're starting over here. This is the Gemara. I'm really through with you. And try to interpret it a bit and then come back to what it means. Says the Gemara, my Kivnei Moroin. By the way, we say this in Unasane Toikef, one of the most powerful tefillahs. We mention this. We say, we all pass before you. In fact, the Sanatoik starts earlier that says, Kivakoras Roya Edroid, like just Hashem is like a shepherd, just like a shepherd sort of counts each sheep, Hashem also scrutinizes each one of us, and we all pass before him, Kivnei Moroin. Says the Gemara, let's learn it through together. My Kivnei Moroin, what does it mean, like the people of Moroin? So, says the Gemara, Hocha over here in Babylon, Targumo Kibnei Imrano. We translate the word Moroin like the people of Imrano. Imrano means like sheep. Then in Rosh Hashanah we are like sheep, like lambs. Just like a lamb passes before the shepherd, each lamb separately, so too in Rosh Hashanah we all pass by like Hashem, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we pass by like Hashem, each lamb separately, each person Hashem looks at us separately and decides what he's going to do with us. That's the one pshat. Reish Lakish, Omar, Reish Lakish says, another opinion, Kema'alas b'nei Moroin. Says, no, it's like the going up the hill towards a place called Beis Moroin, which you have a look at in the English, was a very steep hill, and it was on a summit, and only you can only see who's climbing the mountain with sort of like single file, so to speak. Yeah. In other words, everyone goes like one, but it's almost the opposite of what we said before. But you look at them, when you look at that mountain, you can only see everyone together going up. It's a bit different than what we said before. But also one at a time. That Rabbi Huda, Omar Rabbi Huda says, Omar Shmuel, the name of Shmuel, that Moroin actually means like soldiers. Kibnei Moroin means an army. Kechayolai shel Beis David, like the soldiers of the house of David. And Omar Rabbi Huda says, that what does it mean? And Rabbi Bar Bachana says, Omar Rabbi Bar Bachana says, what does it mean? Name Rabbi Yochanan, v'kulan niskarin biskira achas. That all the people are scanned with one single scan. One single scan. So, we have two things to look over here in this Gemara. One is that there's three interpretations of Bnei Morim. Let's talk about that for a moment. One is that's like sheep who are counted, scrutinized. The other is it's like a hill that's going up, a steep hill. And the third one is that it's like the soldiers of King David's army. Right? So Hashem is looking at us, judging us, surveying us on Rosh Hashanah, like three different things, like a sheep, like the hill going up to Bnei Moran, and like the soldiers of David HaMelech. Just before we go into the details of this, let's just look at those three things separately. I think those three things represent actually what's happening on Rosh Hashanah in the relationship between us and Hashem. Remember, Rosh Hashanah comes after Elul. Elul is Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li. We make a move, we connect to Hashem, and Hashem connects to us. We learn now from the Medrash that Hashem wants to connect to us. But He's giving us the opportunity to deserve it and to create it and to connect to do tshuva and to connect on our own sort of initiative. So these are the three things. The three things Hashem says He wants to bless us. First of all, He looks at us like sheep, a loving shepherd, a shepherd that cares for each single sheep separately. And He wants each sheep, each lamb to be well. So Hashem says, I'm looking at the world today, kivnei moroin, like sheep, like a shepherd, like a loving shepherd. So please, make sure that you are deserving, like we said before, that I can do well for you. I can make you come out with tremendous blessing. How do you do that? Because I'm also looking at you, kivnei moroin. I'm looking at you, people who are able to climb a hill. I'm looking at you going into the new year as people who are able to climb or able to go up. Take the next step, just one step at a time. That's all I need you to do. Take one step, Hashem says. One more step in the coming year. And that's beautiful. It has to be one step, but Hashem says it's got to come with a strong commitment. And that commitment is like soldiers of David HaMelech's army. So those three translations of Kivnei Moron is very much about what is happening on Rosh Hashanah. Hashem is counting us. Hashem is looking. We are passing before God like a shepherd. Like lamb passes a shepherd, the shepherd wants to take care of his flock. The shepherd wants the flock to do well. But he also wants us to grow. He wants us to do something as well. He wants us to climb a mountain one step at a time, but he wants us to do it like a soldier of David HaMelech. He wants us to do it with commitment. Okay. That's one idea. But having a look a bit more in this Gemara, it seems like a whole contradiction here. It starts off by saying that we're passing Hashem one at a time. Kivnei Moreh. And what does the Gemara end with? And what does some of the other opinions say? That no. V'kulon niskarin b'skira achas. Hashem is looking at us all like one. All like one. Is He looking at us individually? Or is He looking at us like one? What's the story? What's happening here? So let me share with you an idea which I've shared with you before, but it falls into this concept 100%. On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, collectively, there's two very, very important concepts. The one part concept is the oneness that exists between us, and highlighting that and revealing that, that we are all, in essence, absolutely one. Kulon niskarin biskira achas. Hashem is looking at us all as one. But there's also another thing on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to understand that we come as individuals. Individuals. Now, let's look at each one separately. Why is it so important to come as one? Because step one of the whole process of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, as we've explained many times, is to reveal the oneness. What is our oneness? What unites us? What makes us one? What makes us one is the essence of who we are. The pintala yid, the essence of our neshama, that's what makes us one. What makes us one is the part of the neshama that we each have that is never damaged, that is never distanced from Hashem, that is never impurified, is never distorted, is never corrupted. We each have that. We each have that spark. Why is it never corrupted? Because it's a part of our neshama, which is the essence, the core of who we are. It's not the specifics of our personality. It's just the identity, the core identity of who we are. And at that point, we always connected with Hashem. There's a part of our foundation that is always connected with Hashem, that was never separated from Hashem, that is inseparable, that is like an unconditional bond with Hashem. That's who we are at the very essence. Rosh Hashanah, as we know, we have to dig all the way deep down to that part of our soul. That's the shofar, by the way. The shofar is the cry coming from that depth, from that place in the neshama that never sinned to begin with. That place in the neshama that never was distanced from Hashem to begin with. As I've explained to you many, many times, that in Rosh Hashanah we actually do tshuva, but we do not mention specifics. Yom Kippur we mention specifics, but not Rosh Hashanah. We're not even permitted to mention specifics. We're not supposed to talk about the concept of transgression or failure on Rosh Hashanah. We do that on Yom Kippur, because we must do that in order to grow, in order to do tshuva, in order to really reconnect. We have to acknowledge what we did wrong, and we have to acknowledge that we're going to do better in the future. True. But on Rosh Hashanah, we don't do that. Why? Even though Rosh Hashanah is also a day of tshuva. Because step one, part one of the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur process is to come to Hashem and say that you need to take me back. You need to allow me to reconnect to you because I was never really distant. We come to Rosh Hashanah, we reflect on the year gone by, and we think, well, maybe we have created some distance between us and Hashem. So this is a problem. Maybe we've messed up. I know Hashem gave us tshuva, but what's the power of tshuva? How can we fix what is broken? So the only way to fix what has been broken is to reveal that really it was never broken at its depth, at its deep down level. That really we have a part of us that is never broken. And that's where we have to start from. We have to strip the relationship that we have with Hashem all the way back to the very infancy stage, like a father and a child, an infant that is born, that it is just such unconditional love and acceptance that has nothing to do with what we did or we didn't do. It's just there. It's just together, just bonding. Because when we reintroduce the very depth, when we re-reveal, when we re-expose, so to speak, the very essence of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, what we're doing is we're saying we never actually really left. Yes, there's some external parts that we've messed up on, which are important that we have to fix them. But it has not severed, it has not damaged our essential relationship with Hashem. But we have to dig deep to reveal that. That is part of tshuva. That's the cry of the neshama from the shofar. That's the deep cry of a child crying from its very deep essence to his father, please take me back. Because I'm always yours, I was never really far away. How do we reveal that? Through oneness. How do we reveal that? How do we prepare for that? How do we make that happen? On Rosh Hashanah? By highlighting the oneness that we have. Nitzavim hayoim kulchem. You're all together. Kulchem, you're one. Why? Because what makes me one with you? What makes me one with everyone? That part of the neshama. The outer layers of the neshama, we're actually not completely one. We're different. We're individuals. We all do things differently. We're different parts of the journey, different strengths, different weaknesses. That's on our outer layers. But if we want to dig down on Rosh Hashanah for the beginning of the process to reveal the very essence of who we are, the part of us that was never distant from Hashem, that's not the outer layers. The outer layers sometimes were distant. It's the essence of the neshama. To do that, we have to do tshuva and we have to cry from the essence of the soul. But to do that, to show Hashem that we understand that concept, we have to be one, oneness. That's why the Gemara says, yes, v'kulon niskarim biskira achas. Hashem looks at everyone one glance. Because He looks at us all as one, because we are all one. At our very core, we are one, completely one. We are the one child of Hashem. That's Rosh Hashanah. However, what's equally important after that is to rebuild the outer layers. To start behaving like we should behave. And that, everyone's different. Everyone's a different stage of the journey. Everyone's different strengths and different and weaknesses. Everyone's different successes and failures. Everyone has different things they have to fix and reflect on. Everyone has different missions that they have to concentrate on in the coming year. But that has to happen too. Because the power of the individual is very important. We should never think that just because we're one, so therefore I don't matter as an individual. I do matter as an individual. Because my mitzvah is important to God. My journey, my personal, my individual journey is important to Hashem. And that's why after we reveal the oneness, we then have to then work on our individuality. We have to come to Yom Kippur. It's more an emphasis on Yom Kippur. We have to come to Yom Kippur and we have to say, what's my plan for the year? Yes, Rosh Hashanah was a general thing. Rosh Hashanah we revealed, I'm just a Yid. I'm connected to Hashem. As you are, as he is, as she is. We all do it together. We're all one. Very important. Niskira achas. One army together. One glance together, says the Gemara. But the Gemara also says that we pass by Hashem kivnei morayim, like individual lambs, that every lamb is important. Every lamb is different. Every lamb passes by the shepherd separately. Because Hashem wants to look at us as individuals also. He wants us to understand the power of our individuality, the power of our mission, the power of our one mitzvah that we're going to take on this coming year, the power of the one good deed that we're going to take on this coming year, the power of one relationship that we're going to fix the coming year, whatever the case is. He wants us to look at that and he wants us to work on that with commitment and strength. And that's the other part of the Gemara that we pass by like individual lambs, and therefore it's not really a contradiction at all. These two concepts, which are equally important, most emphasized on Rosh Hashanah and then Yom Kippur. We've talked about this in the past, of course, is also the two phrases of Avinu and Malkeinu. Avinu is more the father-child relationship, which is essential and just oneness. Malkeinu is more the king, which has to do with behavior, and that's individualistic to each person. We've talked about that at length other years, so I won't go into it now. But it's also, fascinatingly enough, connected to this parsha in such an unbelievable way. Because this parsha, in fact, is two parshas. It's Nitzavim and Vayelech. Which, interestingly enough, by the way, we are taught whenever we read two parshas, like Chukas, Balak, or Matas, Masei, so it's always very clear that it's actually two separate parshas, which in some years we combine together. Nitzavim and Vayelech is actually the opposite way around. I say this because there's a famous question. The Zohar tells us that there are 33 parshas in the Torah. If you count them up, you'll see there are 34. And the answer is very simple. Nitzavim and Vayelech are actually one parsha. One parsha, which sometimes is broken up. But it's really one parsha. Okay. One parsha but two themes. Because and the two themes relate to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Because Nitzavim Vayelech is one parsha, and so is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, one yontif, divided into two components because they represent two equally important things. And those two important things is, on the one hand, the power of oneness, which has to do with the depth of our neshama, and the power of the individual journey, which is so connected to Yom Kippur. So first of all, the names of the parsha, Nitzavim Vayelech. Nitzavim means firm, in one place, doesn't move. That's Rosh Hashanah. That's the essence of the neshama. Each person has that essence of their neshama, the essence of their soul. That soul stands in one place forever and never moves. It's never corrupted, it's never diluted, it's never damaged. It is what it is when we're born. It's the one steadfast, unbelievable, unshakable connection we have with Hashem. That dot, that spark, at the depth of the neshama. Vayelech means he went, he walked. Walk represents growth. Growth is individualistic. Everyone grows at a different level. So Nitzavim is the oneness, Vayelech is the growth. And then we have, and I just thought of this because Baruch Hashem, as you all know, we celebrated at Bina the Siyum Sefer Torah last week. That's a new Torah that's very, very much connected with this parsha, because at the end of Vayelech, we have the two last mitzvahs of the Torah. The two last mitzvahs of the Torah. What are the two last mitzvahs of the Torah? Meaning I'll say the two last mitzvahs of the 630 mitzvahs, right? Last parsha. Last 2 weeks ago I told you that Kisaitse we had like 84 mitzvahs. This week is not too many, but we have the last two at the end. The second to last is Hakel. That every 7 years, the Sukkos after Shemitah, the king had to gather together all the Jews in the Beis HaMikdash, Anoshim, Noshim, V'taf, men, women, and children, as one, and read to them the inspirational sort of sections of the Book of Devarim. To just reenact, says the Rambam, to reenact Har Sinai, to reenact the commitment that we had when we stood before Hashem at Mount Sinai. We remember this every 7 years. The second to last mitzvah. Last mitzvah is to write a Sefer Torah. Right, that's the very last mitzvah in the Torah. V'atem kisfu lachem es haTorah azois, is to write a Sefer Torah. Famous thing, by the way, because that's when a person is able to commission a writing of a Sefer Torah, to write a Sefer Torah, it's a very, very big mitzvah. It's a fulfillment of this mitzvah. In fact, the problem is the other way around. The Rosh says, how come we don't find that everyone should do this mitzvah? I mean, it is expensive, but why doesn't everyone have to do this mitzvah? It's a mitzvah in the Torah. So I should mention this. The Rosh actually says, because at the end of the day, it's very special to write a Sefer Torah, and it's got the holiness and the brach is unbelievable. But what is the purpose of this mitzvah? The purpose is to have the Torah to read from, to learn from. So therefore he says, since today most of our learning is done outside of the Sefer Torah, we do it from chumashim and from svarim, from books. Therefore today we fulfill the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. Each person fulfills the mitzvah of buying Jewish books. And that's an important thing, by the way. One should it's important in a home to have svarim, to have Jewish books, books of learning, books that we can learn from. And that's how we fulfill the mitzvah. But yet the mitzvah itself is to write the Sefer Torah, but for the purpose of learning. Now, as we said, what's the purpose of this mitzvah? To learn. So in other words, like this. When Hashem gave us the Torah, there are two parts to it. There's the connection we have to the Torah, like when the Jews stood at Har Sinai. There was no differences between one person and another. They stood collectively and they became a nation. That's like Hakel. That's like the mitzvah of Hakel. When the king gathered everyone together, it has to be even young children who can't even understand what's going on. Because at that point, the point of Hakel was not the difference of understanding between one and the other. The point of Hakel was the oneness. Everyone together, everyone's part of one unit. Am Yisrael, as a nation. Torah learning is different, as we know. First of all, the purpose of writing a Sefer Torah is for people to learn from, but learning everyone does differently. Learning everyone understands at different levels. Also, we know, as we've mentioned many times, that a Sefer Torah is made up of many letters. And every letter, although part of a whole, has to stand on its own. Because the individual soul is very, very important. So these last two mitzvahs of the Torah, Hakel and writing a Sefer Torah, represent these two concepts. The oneness that exists between everyone from the essence of our neshama, and the individual journey of everyone, which is the outer layers, but equally important. So those are the two last mitzvahs of the Torah. You can say that the first mitzvah, Hakel, is more connected with Rosh Hashanah. The second one is more connected with Yom Kippur. But they're two parts of one journey. And that's why Nitzom Vayelech is really one parasha. So coming, just to summarize, the coming now before Rosh Hashanah, when Hashem gives us the bracha of Atem Nitzov Mayoy, he says, you've got to stand today firm. You will be firm. Hashem wants to bless us, as we said. And we said at length before with the Baditch Verov that Hashem really wants us in Rosh Hashanah to be worthy of His blessing. And He tells us how. He tells us, Kulchem, you've got to be together. On a simple level, together is because whenever we're together, that's a vehicle for Hashem's brachas. You know, that peace between people, unity between people, brings Hashem's blessings, it brings bracha. That's on a very simple level. But as we just said now, in this explanation, a much deeper level, Kulchem, because the way we start, the way we connect to Rosh Hashanah, the way we re-establish our relationship with Hashem, that Hashem embraces us and welcomes us back, so to speak, and reconnects with us, is when we reveal that we never really went away, that we never really were distant. And that only comes by revealing that pintal ayid, that spark of the neshama that's very, very deep down, where we were never distant. That can only be revealed when we connect with other people, because that's what connects other people. When do we connect with the essence of the neshama? Only when we connect with other people. And that's why before Rosh Hashanah, it's so important to work on this idea of kulchem. First of all, to be humble, to understand, as the Alter Rebbe says in his famous Nitzavi Maimer, where he says a person has to understand that we really all one, because no one's better than the other anyway. Because no one should ever think that, even though there are different levels of the Jewish people, which the Neshamas, which the Chumash says is clearly, but nevertheless, we're all one, we're all beloved by Hashem, we're all connected to Hashem in the same way. And even on an external level, we don't know what's more precious to Hashem anyway. We don't know who's got a greater strength, the foot or the head. A head can't exist without the foot, and the foot can't exist without the head. So really, we're all really one. That's so important to understand that concept, to understand that principle, which brings humility. It's important before the new year comes to let go of stuff between people that we need to let go. If we need to ask forgiveness, to ask forgiveness. If we need to apologize or give forgiveness. It's so important to do that. It's so important only to see positively other people, especially during this time of the year. Because that makes the idea of kulchem, the oneness, and the oneness reveals who we really are at our very core, and that sets the scene for us to connect to Hashem on the very deepest level on Rosh Hashanah and be a keli and be a vessel of Hashem's brachas. So we read Nitzavim this week, it's Hashem's bracha, Hashem should help that the bracha should all be revealed, and we should all merit a real ksivach simatoiva and a good gibench to year for everyone. It should be a real healthy year this year, a year full of tremendous blessings. I just want to remind everyone a few things before we go. Number one, next week we'll still have a shir, it's Tuesday. It'll be a shir on Rosh Hashanah, because there's no parsha next week, it's just Rosh Hashanah. So we'll do a shir, same time, same place, but on the topic of Rosh Hashanah. A different idea maybe, different concepts in Rosh Hashanah, Mirtz Hashem. Also, there's a lot of, just check the emails and everything, there's a lot of extra interesting, beautiful things happening, particularly next week. Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, we've got special Rosh Hashanah activities and programs and sessions. And so just check the WhatsApps and the emails and all that so you can be tuned in to what's happening. On that note, have a wonderful day, everyone, and a great week. If you want, you can unmute yourself, but have a very good day.
Thank you, Rabbi.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Amen.
All the best. Bye-bye.